Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's April 4th. It's spring break week, so Sam is not here. Sam's at the beach. Good for him. Glad he was able to do that. I've got Trevor in the studio here with me this morning. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing well. After the surprise thunderstorm last night.
Yeah, I'm glad you weren't in Dallas.
Yeah, you know, and we don't have Dallas with us this morning as a result of all the storms that happened there. We're going to be bringing that guest in on a recording. So by the time this is published, Dallas will be part of the show. But this morning, they're taking care of business there and doing some cleanup. From what I understand, none of the folks that we know were impacted. We're glad about that, but certainly a lot of devastation there.
That's good to hear.
So this morning we have Chris Brand back with us from Friends of Disabled Adults and Children, FODAC. We're glad to have him back. Good morning, Chris.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
I'm glad you can make it here this morning. Thanks for taking your time.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
So it wasn't that long ago that you were on the show, but if you, for those that didn't hear the first show, perhaps you could just give us a brief background on you and
sure.
Where you're from and how you got to be where you are today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm was raised right here in Atlanta, born in Texas, actually, but raised right here in the Atlanta area and kind of grown up in the disability community my whole life. I was raised with a family that helped take care of me during working hours and babysitting, that kind of adopted me over here in Tucker, Georgia. And their son had muscular dystrophy, and so he was my best friend growing up, and they just kind of adopted me and got to really see what goes on in the disability world with caregivers, and especially muscular dystrophy. Went to all the telethons, MDA telethons, got to know a lot of other people with disabilities through that network. And my first jobs were working with that family with disability conversions for vans and doing things of that nature. So eventually, went to West Georgia some, went to some other colleges, and circled back around to working in that industry for adaptive equipment for vehicles, and progressed from there to working a little bit in the hospital systems with physical therapy, pursuing that for a while. So I have some inpatient, outpatient, and acute and sports therapy assistance I did in physical therapy and those circles. And then got back involved with this nonprofit that I worked with previously for a few years, FODAC, Friends of Disabled Adults and Children. So, it had grown. It doubled in size from the first years in the early 90s. I worked with them, kind of did a little bit of everything.
What was the first thing that you did with FODAC?
Actually was kind of a donations manager. I would manage a lot of the inventory in the facility and community outreach to get more donations in, because they can only provide what is collected through donations. So I was working with all the other disability organizations that we still work with today and even more today, than back then, and trying to develop that pipeline of supplies for the organization.
It's a fun story because, it's like the UPS driver that starts out driving a truck and becomes
that's right, literally, the
president.
So. Exactly. I was the truck driver at one time, and now I'm the president through progressing through the years, and then, many years coming back running a program that was just for starting the new adaptive equipment recycling program that installs that equipment on other people's vehicles once they had doubled in size. And the founder had found that the foundation community and others wanted him to build another team other than just the founder to move the organization to another level. And I was just a good fit for that role. I'd already networked with all the other agencies that we needed to work with and have relationships with. And And he trained me on some of the funding relationships that we needed to build. And it was just an awesome opportunity to help move the organization forward.
Well, the cool thing is a passion and a commitment to the organization over a period of years, culminating in you leading the organization.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
So what I have to go back, though, and ask you if you had a chance to hang with Jerry Lewis while you were...
No, he was never in Atlanta. No, not Jerry Lewis. No, now he's trouble. You know, they have all these issues now with muscular dystrophy, and they're trying to find their own way internally with those issues. But
that's funny.
Yeah.
But so listen, one of the reasons that we had you back, first of all, we just ran short of time last time. We didn't get to talk about all the things that we wanted to talk about. But in particular, I know you've got one of your three major events coming up.
Yes.
And I want to give you an opportunity to talk about that.
Oh, that's outstanding. And just more background on FODAC, what we're doing in general. You know, we're increasing access to home medical equipment for the disabled and medically fragile community. And so, you know, what that means to us is that we're collecting all this equipment that might get thrown away that people have either purchased or Medicare and Medicaid has purchased and gently used equipment, getting it back into our facility in Stone Mountain from all around the state, and then cleaning it, fixing it up, getting it to people who are going to have long waits for their equipment or might not be have insurance for it at all.
Right.
And so might have been forced to buy it out of pocket. So,
And I can't tell you, in our business, I can't tell you how many times I'll walk up to a family's home and, you know, the garage is stuffed full of furniture and whatnot, and there's almost always a wheelchair folded up in there that's not being used, and you know, a walker or two, and you know, who knows what you might find in there. But you know, a lot of times it ends up going to kind of an estate sale or a junk sale, and I think you're probably right. A lot of it gets just tossed.
Just gets tossed, and so it's a huge from that recycling effort alone. It's a huge green effort of what we're doing. I mean, and then you get these power chairs that people don't know what to do with. They got these heavy duty batteries in there that would they go to the landfill? That'd be awful for our landfills, you know. So we're recycling all those, just hundreds and hundreds of pounds of those batteries alone every year. We're recycling back to the battery vendors to get them refurbished, and you know, we take probably 10,000 requests in that neighborhood a year for medical equipment. So there's a huge, huge demand in Georgia and Atlanta, especially for this equipment. A lot of people with disabilities move to Atlanta for those, you know, more access to disability services. So.
And not just locally, right? And you're you're filling requests from all over the country.
Exactly. Well, from primarily around the state, but we're open to people from anywhere in the country picking up equipment for a loved one, taking it to them. You know, we have we don't have state boundaries. But the only cities we deliver to, we have partnerships in right now, would be Rome, Macon, Columbus, Augusta, and Bainbridge. So we do have partnerships that they provide a little funding for the trucking for us to bring it down, what they have requested from what local people have requested, so they don't have to try to drive to Atlanta from Augusta, you know, to get this equipment, which is a barrier. So we do have some partnerships like that in Columbia, South Carolina. So we do deliver every couple of months to those cities. And we're looking for more partnerships around the state to help us. We're working with Rotary and Kiwanis especially, but any other churches or organizations we'd be love to work with to kind of getting some more of this equipment that would be thrown away to some of those cities, you know, that are close to those cities we're already working with.
Right.
And that we can get it back in our pipeline and help people around the state and around other states. But also new cities that we haven't been able to reach out to yet, you know, Carrollton or something like that. Could a business owner be willing to, you know, collect not only collect equipment through a service group, but bring it to Atlanta every couple months if they have businesses that kind of cross Atlanta occasionally anyway.
Sure.
And we're getting some good feedback on that, but we'd love to get, you know, any of your listeners that may be interested in that kind of concept of a service project, we'd love to talk with them.
Excellent. Well, and I think I heard you say before that you're actually distributing more than 4,000 requests a year, which is really incredible when you think about how many people are served in our community as a result of that.
Oh, huge. Yeah, there's mostly North Georgia, but there's 90 counties in Georgia get something every year, and about 20 states get something every year. And that's separate from the emergency response relief stuff that I know we'll talk about in a minute. But that's a whole other track of new equipment that we get donated from manufacturers, like last year that went to Tuscaloosa and Tennessee and North Georgia for the tornadoes. Even as far as Joplin, we had two shipments that we provided. So
FODAC is a nonprofit organization, and so consequently, I assume that you are funded based on the generosity of other people.
Correct. Yes, we always need people. Small amounts of gifts. Whenever people can are reaching out to help the community, we're a huge. A great, great conduit for that, for so much direct service. I mean, when I came to the organization, I came as a volunteer, and because I was attracted to how much of an impact, this $16,000 wheelchair is no cost to this person, and they can't afford that. You can't afford that sort of thing, and you know what an impact it's making for the caregivers and for that person every day.
Well, indirectly, you're benefiting all of us as taxpayers because, these are things that people may not otherwise get, or they're going to Medicare, Medicaid to get them.
So it does. Yeah, when people are slowed down to get access to this equipment from the government, we're filling that gap, and then they might not ever go back to get their benefits filled from the government. And then also, it's allowing people to stay on the job, and we get report percentages of that. People that are able to go back to school, and for their kids or their college or whatever, and. So huge outcomes to keeping people independent, living on their own. I mean, those are our goals, keeping elderly folks independent, living in their homes as long as possible and not going into other government care programs and people with disabilities being independent and thriving.
Well, and I know from having visited your facility that you also have kind of a subspecialty in children's assistive devices.
And oh, yeah.
From talking to you, I understand that those are extraordinarily expensive.
Oh, extremely expensive. When someone's in an accident, we had a pastor, a local church that we work with. My son's friend was just in a heavy, very, very bad accident. He didn't think he would live, and he's... Therapists need it. He's going to need a standing table, and can y'all give him that? We're just going to raise money and buy a $3,000 table. We have one. Send them over, and we can do those sorts of things. Gait trainers, where parents say, they write down testimonies of what they, what an impact it's making, saying, my son's life's going to have a longer life expectancy because of this equipment that we're getting from you guys. So, we're extremely blessed to know what a difference we're making for just families, for 400 kids roughly a year that we're helping. Just huge, huge impacts.
That's incredible. And, 400 kids, if they're so that makes it 10% of your business.
Yeah, at least. It's at least 10% of those requests filled. Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. So, you got a lot of volunteers, but you also have a lot of expenses, and to that end, you have three major events.
Yes, we do. Golf and Breakfast with Santa, but upcoming one is a walk and roll at Stone Mountain Park.
And I understand that you will personally be leading the pack.
Oh no! Yeah, I'm gonna be pretty early. I don't think I'll be leading the pack in any category. The setup or hardest working or none of that. But it will be a blast. It's just a beautiful area over the Confederate Hall area. We're gonna have like food, feeding people some breakfast things, some coffee, some water. And a lot of door prizes and things like that. But you can either do a two-mile walk or roll if you're in a wheelchair, or you could run around the mountain, which is a 5-mile thing for adventurous people. And a lot of music. We'll have the Panther mascot from down at Georgia State's going to show up. We'll have some just goofy fun stuff happening. And and one of our local radio DJs is going to be there from 104.1, Sasha the Diva, she calls herself.
Sasha the Diva. All right. There you go.
She's a riot. She's a lot of fun. And
attend the event and mingle with the celebrities.
Exactly. She is a celebrity. Absolutely.
That's terrific. What portion of your funding comes from these fundraising events each year?
We've dipped with the economy, with corporate giving, but we're... we're typically around 15% foundations, which is not these special events, but these special events are typically individuals, corporations, and individuals are somewhere around that 12 to 15% a year. We hope. Last year, we had a real dip in corporate giving because of some of our champions went out of business or, you know, some had to sell off and do something else. So that went from, you know, 14, 15% down to 8%. Wow. So we really need corporate sponsors to get behind us that are a good cause marketing fit. And, you know, that's a huge, huge help to us. We have a few new ones this year. And, you know, you guys are one of them. And we're really appreciative of that. And we always need new help because you can never count on the economy and the sector of any individual company that's been supporting us.
And I know you'd want to give a shout-out to Stone Mountain and Hirsch & Family Entertainment hosting your events.
All three
of them hosted out at the park.
At the park. They're platinum sponsors of our organization, and they've been just wonderful community-minded company. I mean, just can't speak highly enough about Stone Mountain Park and the operating company, Hirsch & Family Entertainment.
Excellent.
Huge, huge, wonderful. But the event, you know, we have for $25, you can come out and get a T-shirt and run around and participate in all the door prizes. And if people raise, and it's kind of an event where, you know, hopefully you can pass around a pledge sheet from church or wherever, get some people to make some pledges for you to participate. You can also do an online fundraising page, which is awesome. You can just create a link from our website from registering, and you can forward that link to family and friends, and they can donate securely online right from that link. And so, you know, that's an easy way to do above $50. If people do raise $50, Stone Mountain Park will kick in an all-attraction pass.
So
they're huge in that contribution to us as well. So we'd love to get people involved with coming out with us and creating a fundraising website page, which is easy, or we'll do it for you and email you the link.
and that's on what day?
That's Saturday, May 5th, and their registration starts at about 8 o'clock, and then the run and the walk. So anytime between 8 and 9, we're there for registration, and 9 o'clock is when the walk, roll, and the run all start at the same time.
Excellent.
At Confederate Hall out of Stone Mountain Park.
I can't think of a better way to start off Cinco de Mayo.
There you go. you were saying earlier we need we have teams that create their own names and themes, and that would be one of them. You know, you need the sombreros on a group out there.
Sombreros and piñatas. So now I know that one of the things that we didn't get to talk about last time and another way that you all generate some funding for operations is through your thrift store. So
yes.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Oh, that is a huge, huge help. I mean, a lot of thrift stores really don't have a lot that give back to the community. Ours is in our facility, so our truck goes out to pick up larger loads of furniture and things like that and medical equipment and brings them in. Everything household and clothing related and furniture all gets sold with all the proceeds helping us provide the service for the medical equipment to people. And all the medical equipment either goes out the front door to individuals or to local free clinics or to international relief groups. And we do just multiple pallets and tractor trailer loads out the back door to other agencies, you know, that need our help and need what we have for no cost to them. So, but the store is a huge help. If you could, you know, get out the 4900 Lewis Road off of Mountain Industrial and Stone Mountain, it's just on the edge of Tucker and Stone Mountain, and check it out. We'd love for you to. I'm sure there'll be discount coupons for every walker, roller, and runner at May 5th coming out. I think we're passing out some bunch of coupons to that store.
So I've been through it, and I know you got a lot of clothing in there.
Yes.
What other things can be found?
Just about anything and everything. Gosh, we have books, all kinds of media from CDs to VHS tapes to old records. Just a huge facility. It's 12,000 square feet in there. And
that
so you can find a little bit of everything in that store. There's
I think I saw some TVs and some
appliances,
furniture. And
appliances, washers, dryers, refrigerators, things like that. There's every kind of household knick-knack thing you could want, sporting goods area, luggage.
How long has the thrift store been open?
It's been operating for a long time, actually since the early 90s. But
really?
We moved into that facility in 1998.
Okay.
So, and then the renovations that we had last year that we finished, the $1.6 million from capital-only foundations and government sources, which didn't help operating, but it was great for the place. We opened up all the walls out of the place that we had really didn't need there, that we couldn't make those changes right. when we moved in. All those renovations allowed us to really make it a perfect facility for what we do mm-hmm. with cleaning equipment. The thrift store opened right. it up, added on to the back of the thrift store in the warehouse. And
have you found any gems? You know, as you yeah. do the thrift store, I'm yeah. sure there have been some items that have.
Oh
I'm,
yeah,
I'm just curious. What...
Yeah, I'm not even familiar with some of the gems that get taken out of there by dealers. But we're one of the hot spots for all the dealers and antique people who own their shops. They come regularly to us to scoop up. Oh, this is $2. I can sell it for $50 or $100 somewhere else. So yeah, it's a lot of gems come through that place that we really don't have a conduit to get them pulled out into other locations.
Call the Storage Wars folks and do a yeah. reality show.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, just tons of items that we do get.
That's neat. Yeah. Terrific. Well, I know there are a couple other things that you had wanted to talk about. We spend a few minutes maybe talking about what's going on with Medicaid and
yes.
and maybe what's going on with GEMA funding.
Yes, exactly. Well, the GEMA is something that's grown out of our relief to Katrina. That we were a conduit for things that went to Haiti. Big, you know, kind of a staging facility. We sent a lot of our own things, but a lot of other people sent equipment. So we've been become Georgia VOAD members a couple of years ago, you know, Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster. And we've been working, you know, last spring with those tornadoes and things that came through with all the disability integration specialists from FEMA around the country, you know, even up in the Northeast when floods came through.
Right.
They're reaching out to us for equipment and because we're a conduit for that from other manufacturers that we can let them know what the needs are. They'll donate to us because they want to help out. We came up with the concept of the disability shelter kit to kind of meet some new FEMA guidelines that are coming down for the states. And we kind of, you know, as far as I know, we kind of pioneered that concept. I'm sure it's been a concept before, but in Georgia, we've been working with Red Cross and saying, hey, we're going to do it regardless if we get paid. It's the right thing to do. We want to be a help. We want to assist with this. Well, GEMA is trying to work us in right now into the state plan to fund that and actually store them at FODAC or other places around the state for these packages that include wheelchairs, hospital beds, Hoyer lifts, shower equipment, a little bit of everything for a 250-person. If a 250-person shelter opens up, you can push that, and we would deliver it, actually, and set it up for that shelter. And whatever their needs are, bring more things from our warehouse. You know, it's one of those things. It's a great start and a great to something that the state can say, hey, we're prepared.
Right. So, what a terrific idea.
Yeah, we're hopeful that will come to fruition here very shortly. And then Medicaid is something that's we've been talking with the state of Georgia Medicaid about, you know, hey, we can provide, you know, there is no conduit right now when the state buys things for people to collect them again. So you have a lot of waste in that.
Right.
You know, brand new wheelchairs sit on the loading dock and they come after someone's died, actually.
Right.
Well, it's already been paid for. The vendor's not taking that back.
Right.
And so that's the other weird thing where you have a lot of waste, government waste of money, and gently used equipment can get back out to the hospitals like what we're doing with Grady.
And to your point, even brand new equipment.
It's almost brand new.
You get the situation where somebody passes away before they can use something.
And, yeah.
You know, it's just sitting out there.
It's not uncommon at all for that scenario to happen because it takes many – people don't realize it takes – 6-10 months sometimes to get power chairs for people or to get other equipment
right.
Approved and get it through the pipeline and get yeah. it to them.
Well, and so. I'm sure people would want to return that stuff. I mean, you know, after all, it's provided by Medicaid and they would want yeah. somebody else to be able to use it.
Exactly.
But they have no way of getting rid of it.
Exactly. And so we're trying to work with other vendors and we're going to help Medicaid put out an RFP, work out one in May. We've been invited to come do that, that whether we get it or not, it's the right thing for the state mm-hmm. to do. You know, we hope someone's going to get that contract, whether it's us, and get that back
right.
to places like FODAC.
Are other states doing this that you're aware of?
There are a few states that have picked this up that we have models to follow, like out in Kansas. You know, I think Oklahoma has a similar program and a few up in the Northeast.
Right.
But, you know, they have... this was all created when better economic times.
Yeah.
So now it's a little bit of a struggle to find the funding in Georgia to do this, although they're hopeful we can do that because it will show a cost savings to these people who are actually getting Medicaid equipment the second time. You know, it was that now it's not funded for every time that they're reusing that equipment, and it'll save them some money for more complex equipment that that advocates in the state don't want to see cut by Medicaid, because Medicaid's looking at cutting things.
Yeah.
And high-end services for people with disabilities cost so much to them, they're looking at cutting those. And if we can show them, hey, we can reuse some low-tech equipment and, you know, save you some money, then they're open to that, those type of conversations.
Yeah.
So
And they should be.
Yeah.
So, well, it sounds like you guys are doing some great stuff.
Oh, we're extremely busy.
Well, it's good to be busy, right?
It is. It is.
So, you know, we're kind of coming to the end here, but let's go back to the run, walk, and roll. Remind us again when it is, where it is, how people can get involved, and
outstanding. Yeah, it is at Stone Mountain Park, May 5th, a Saturday. About a month away. We'd love for you to put it on your calendars now. You can find out more information at www.fodac.org. That's our acronym is FODAC.org, and that would have under events off of our website. You can find out all about the Run, Walk, and Roll May 5th, and you can actually click on to create your own fundraising page. And you know, you don't have to donate anything at that time to create that, and you can just shoot it out. And people, you know, it's just huge for awareness for us because we don't have a huge marketing budget. We're a medium-sized nonprofit doing a large nonprofit amount of work.
Right.
And it's just great for us because, you know, we need the awareness. We need every little bit of support that people can work us into their giving.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very good. And for those that might want to just make a donation to FODAC, that can be done online as well?
On that website, yes. The big orange donate button.
Excellent.
And I was just going to mention, too, we didn't mention a little bit about donation, what people are looking for. You know, low administrative overhead. We have 4% administrative overhead, not 17 or 25. It's 4%. So we're extremely efficient in our model of what we do. And every dollar is actually multiplied to 10 bucks because of the high value of the equipment we're collecting for no cost, providing to the community back that's worth thousands, hundreds and thousands of dollars for many, many of the items that we're issuing.
So you can feel real good about the contribution impact. You're making, the impact, right?
Exactly. It's a huge impact.
And are there volunteer opportunities if people want to give their time?
Yes. In addition to those statewide ideas that we have brewing for service clubs, locally in Atlanta, we have a huge facility. So we need volunteers in that thrift store all the time with sorting, pricing, getting things out on the floor. The wheelchair shops, we have our own in-house repair shops for power wheelchairs and for manual wheelchairs and kids' things. We always need some people who are willing to put in a day or you know, half a day or whatever it is on a regular basis. And then crews, companies can send in large crews of 20 people on a Saturday or any time, and we'll have projects ready to do, whether it's medical equipment supporting, sorting that goes to local free clinics, just have a large amount of opportunities.
Great. That's fantastic. So, and I would encourage anybody that hasn't had an opportunity to see your facility to, you know, call up and arrange for a tour because it's really an impressive facility.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So, all right. Well, very good. Any parting words for us?
No, just really appreciate, Griswold and the donation and for our operations. And, you know, really, really appreciate any help from corporate organizations that may want to get involved with checking us out, seeing what kind of partnerships we could do.
Outstanding. Well, to our listeners, May 5th, keep that on your schedule. If you can, get out there and put together a team and go out and have some fun and raise some money for FODAC.
Outstanding. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for today. As always, you can listen to a rebroadcast of this show at www.ugeriaradio.com. And in closing, as we always do, if the youth of our nation are our greatest national asset, then it stands to reason that the seniors of our nation are its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.